This is the live feed. It's your connection to live music and entertainment in Winona. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Now, here's Terry Tenseth with the live feed.
Steve Miro is a source of inspiration. Within a minute or two of meeting him, you realize why. Steve is a musician and motivational speaker who just so happens to be a quadriplegic. Tonight we learn Steve's story and find out how he has been able to overcome adversity. You're listening to The Live Feed with Terry Tenseth on KQAL.
Well, my name is Steve Miro. I'm 28 years old. I live in New Richmond, Wisconsin. Grew up there. A little over three and a half years ago, I was injured in a motocross accident, severing my spinal cord, leaving me paralyzed from the upper chest down with limited arm movement and no hand function, or finger function, I should say.
Now, music's been a part of your life, Steve, since you were 18, right? Is that when you actively started participating in it with guitar and vocal?
Yes. So 18 years old, I started, that's when I picked up the guitar, and about 17, I picked up the guitar and kind of plunked around with it. Didn't know anything about it, and so I actually signed up to take guitar lessons and went and took a few lessons and was really discouraged by the teacher.
Oh.
So, and then I broke my leg on top of the thing, and I didn't have the money to go to lessons, as well as I wasn't able to transport the guitar with crutching. So I just kind of sat at home, plunked around with it for another year and a half, and then went and signed up for some more lessons. And the guy's like, well, show me what you know. And so I went ahead and played a lick or two. And he's like, well, it seems like basically you know the basics. He's mm-hmm. like, the music is just whatever you want to make of it from here. He's like, you basically just need to learn all the songs you want to learn and you will progress as a musician. And I needed that little boost of confidence, so that was really great. The lessons turned into a bullshit session, as well as just, we would basically BS, and then he would quick write down something that he had to teach somebody earlier that day, and it was just a couple chords or different formation that I hadn't played maybe. And so I would take that stuff home and practice like crazy, and I show back up and we're BSing, and all of a sudden it's time to go, and he's like, oh shoot, I want you to go to this. He writes down an address and gives me a phone number and stuff, and he's like, there's a band tryout for a band tonight, you should go check it out. And so I took off, and I ended up going back and checking this out, and here he pulls up, and so it's his band that he's organizing.
Oh, there you go.
And so that's when I realized the whole lessons thing. You know, I mean, I just needed that. Sometimes when I get stumped, like I didn't know anything about music. I don't know how to read music. I do it all by ear versus, and have slowly figured out certain things about, you know, music, but otherwise I don't. If you were to put music in front of me, I could not
read it. Like,
right.
Be like, okay.
Yeah, just.
But you know chords if you see a G or a C or what have you.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, that's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Who introduced the guitar to you, or was that something you just picked up on your own volition?
Great question. There was a guitar growing up in my grandma's closet. And so every time I went to grandma's, I would pull it out. And it was kind of told that I had to sit on the couch and I couldn't just play around with it because it was a real guitar. And so then knowing that, I started to want to play guitar about 15 years old, 14, and thought about it and was afraid to basically tell anybody because there wasn't, as far as I knew, there wasn't anybody in the family that was into music really. So when I ended up, I asked my mom, I said, is that guitar still around at grandma's? And she's like, well, I'll call her and ask her. And so sure enough, it was. And so that's what I started on, was this guitar that my grandpa, who I never really met, had bought for himself as well as my mom and her sister to learn how to play. It was a smaller body, and the action was really nice on it, like after I got it worked on. So I started with that guitar and just plunking around.
when you were doing professionally competing motocross, right, were you still active in the guitar playing at that time?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. So I was doing both. Uh-huh. And a lot of the guitar was something nobody really knew about. I was doing that in a basement or in the garage late at night.
Hiding. No.
Yes. Yes.
Closet musician.
Yep. Totally.
So after your accident, you're told probably a bunch of things that you may not walk again, you may not have any functionality in different areas, right? And right now you're limited to what's above the armpits, basically. So what made you say, you know what, I'm going to try really hard. Music is important to me. I'm going to try to play the guitar. And how did you get around the challenges of that?
It's funny that you say that, because it was a huge question in my mind how I was going to do anything. Mm-hmm. Versus, because feeding myself was like, everybody clapped when I was able to do that. And that to me was, I'm the type of person when I would wipe out, I would instantly get up. It was, I always got up. Like I just, even when I broke my leg or separated my hip or stuff, I even stood up. It was, I fell right back down on the broken leg and same with the separated hip. But but I just had the mentality that I need to get up and just get back to it, you know, like you learn from things. And so it was just, this thought kept going back through my head before I got paralyzed. I played music just kind of, like I said, for myself, and had met a girl and we were dating, and she invited me out to this friends of her folks, and she's like, they want you to bring the guitar. So I brought the guitar with, and this guy, I played for them around the campfire and stuff, and he knows music and plays music and has been a musician for years, and I didn't know that. He tells me, you know, after I'd played a couple songs, he's like, you really got something here. And he's like, I want you to know that I hear you race motocross and stuff. And he's like, I don't really know. Sounds like you're good at it and stuff. But he's like, you need to quit riding. Like, he's like, I hate to tell you that because sounds like you really like that. But he's like, something's going to happen. You're going to lose the ability to make this, because he thought it was great. And I was like, well, that's cool, because I was such a self-critic that, like, it's progressing. Yeah. But my comment to him was, I'm like, hey John, don't worry about it. I'm like, I have to pursue the motocross right now. I'm gonna be too old, like tomorrow. I said, I already am, but I'm at the level and I want to try. It's something, it's a dream, lifelong dream, and this is, that dream is before the music. So I said, I'm going to pursue that right now, and then you're never too old for music.
Right.
But so it was kind of weird that that happened, you know. He said,
bizarre, isn't
yeah
it?
Yes.
I don't
mean. Because to be honest with you, he actually called. He was one of the first people that called my cell phone, and I was unable to answer it because I didn't have any dexterity, and I couldn't squeeze the two hands together enough to actually push the button.
Oh.
So I see his name on there, and so then I just started thinking, and then they offered the music therapy, and like I said, that just, it actually made me kind of more upset about, like, I've lost everything. I've lost the ability to walk, to ride motocross, which is a huge outlet, and then now I'll pick up the guitar. Or it's hard to talk, let alone sing. So I was like, oh man. But I don't know, I just, hearing that gal play the guitar, I was so thankful that she did. But at the same time, I almost felt like I could do just as good of a job. If that's, and I'm not. So that's kind of what pushed me to do it in a way. Because I was like, she was just playing simple chords. And I'm like, I recognize that, and recognize that there's simplicity to music, mm-hmm. and there's some real beauty in that. And so I just tried to hash out in my head, even though I don't know how to read music, how to come up with a different tuning to keep it simple. And I just thought maybe I could be a part of something, not necessarily that I could play alone, or I just, because I knew in music, I was a rhythm guitar player and backup vocals in the first band. So I played in that band for about a year and a half, and I quit the band to pursue the motocross too. And then that guy's telling me, you quit the band, you know, like, you got to continue with your music. The heck with the band, because he's like, you got something going yourself. And but I continued, you know, whatever.
Well, you built a table, or had a table built for you, where, just so the listeners know, it's like a table and then the guitar lays flat. And you have a special mechanism for where you would normally be working with the frets, where you have pressure down on the frets. What do you call that tool?
I call it a guitar splint, but it's similar to a bar slide that someone would put on their finger. And you're right, it's pushing down on the fretboard and holding the strings down like you would manipulate your left hand. Mm-hmm. If you were a right-handed guitar player.
If you could describe the picking and how you adapted that.
I knew I couldn't hold on to a pick, so that was a mystery. And they had a splint made for me, and I tried gluing picks to that splint that held my thumb kind of out, and that didn't work. So I went to the guitar store and asked, what do you guys have for thumb picks? Because I knew that banjo players sometimes would wear picks on their fingers. And sure enough, they showed me some stuff. Well, it was very rigid. It was meant to just strum down. When it tried to backstroke, it would fall off. So, and it didn't sound very good. It wasn't forgiving. It was really twangy and sharp. It just, there's no room for air. And I don't feel necessarily like a normal guitar player feels everything they do. And I can't have that challenge too. So I'm like, okay, I need to get some more feel in this. And so then I cut off the rigid part that was sticking out and knew that I used to use 60 millimeter, it's either 60 or 70 millimeter pick, which is a thinner pick, and it's a little more forgiving. If you accidentally hit the string that you're not trying to get, it's not gonna be so bright and stand out that you just screwed up. Once I adapted that and glued that to that, that took a while. I glued it to it, played, and I'm like, the angle's just a little off. We need to move it 2 degrees this way. Sure enough, like that made it better. And then, okay, now I need to cut this part back because the pick isn't flexing. We need to move the pick up 2 millimeters. It's just little things like, and because I had the background in motocross, I didn't have anybody to teach me how to do that stuff. I learned it all myself. So I just, with the guitar, I've been kind of self-taught that way too. I've just taken everything and anything I can learn from anybody else and put it towards what I'm doing. So the motocross, I was able to learn a lot of different angles, different measurements, just different things. And with the work I did in the past, it's been constantly, like right now I already know there's certain things I want to do to the guitar pick, certain things I want to do to the splint, as well as the stand, to make my playing better, as well as easier for me to do it.
It's probably going to be a constant.
I think, yeah. Thing. And as because I'm getting more ability, because I'm strengthening the muscles to play longer and able to do more stuff on the guitar.
Right now, how long can you play for?
About an hour, and then I need just a breather. I did do a 3-hour show one night, and I only took like a 15-minute break in between, and I didn't even pull away from the guitar. I get done and a couple musicians told me they're mad at me because they're like, well, you're gonna make everybody have to, you know,
work harder.
They said there's every 45 minutes you should be taking a 15-minute break just to keep it, you know, like all the musicians on the same page or expectations of places. And I said, but as soon as I said I have to take longer breaks in between my songs because I need to catch my breath or get my muscles back, get the oxygen back. I said I felt like the room was going to empty, so that's why I didn't take a break. I'm thankful that the business hired me, and I know too, you know, like sometimes music stops, people move on. I try to play an hour and a half, I can play pretty solid, and then after that it's, I'm more kind of,
gotcha.
I'll play certain songs because it's more of a song that I can recollect myself or don't have to put as much effort into singing, because some of the songs it's harder to sing the song versus play the guitar, while some of it requires a lot of action on the guitar and to match up the vocals is sometimes That's a challenge.
Well, what's next for you? What's your goal?
I'm working on writing a book and getting a little mini documentary going. And I want to go around and play gigs, small arenas or different settings versus a bar. I've been doing that around where I live, and it's great. The money's not great. But at the same time, too, I noticed that you're in a place that is maybe somebody's hangout, and they're they have routines, and I can come in and bust up a routine because the bar owner wants to try something new. And I don't necessarily, I guess I want to play in a place that people come there because they want to listen to the music, not I'm thrown in someone's setting. And now, you know, because I get people coming up, spitting in my face.
Oh, my word.
Play this song. And I've told a few people that are close to me, I'm like, that happens a couple more times, you won't see me in another place. You know what I mean? Like, it's discouraging in a way.
Yeah.
Because it's like, what's wrong with the song? Not everybody is the same song taste, but
no.
I want to get away from that and just get into, like I said, a more of a crowd that's in. With the book, I could kind of go into more of a listening, reader, writer style. And so I'm actually working with Pete Newman. He's a guy that you saw help set up stuff for me. He's from my hometown. He's a couple years younger than me, and he plays blues. And just, he plays a mad guitar, like just really soulful music. And so we're gonna kind of join a little bit on some of the stuff, because I want to play for an hour and a half and have it be really solid and just something, an experience. Venues want 4 hours worth of music or more than that, especially if you're going to charge. So we're going to try to do some stuff where we kind of double headline, and that'll help get people out. He's got quite a following.
Cool.
As far as just out and about, and he's traveling too and booking stuff, and just going to try to keep going, just forward.
Your message to others is?
You can do anything you want to do, even if you're not born into it or you don't think you really have the talent. If you have love or a passion for anything, there really isn't anything you can't do. And I know that more so now, because I'm faced with the physical disability that you really can't do some things, but you can. If I still can, it's so easy for people, if they just get up off the couch, like, you can do anything. If I could redo my life, the beginning of my life, I would have been had more confidence, just self-confidence. Your thoughts are powerful.
Thanks for taking the time out for us.
Yeah, thank you.
True. Touch of your hand says you catch me. If If ever I fall, you say it best. When you say nothing at all, nothing at all. It's the smile on your face, it's me know that you need me. It's the truth in your eyes, saying you never leave me. It's a touch of your hand, says you catch me. If ever I fall, you say it best. When you say nothing at all, out into nothing. Oh, I wanna leave this.
A big thank you to Steve Miro for taking the time out for us here on The Live Feed.
Thanks for listening to The Live Feed. The Live Feed is produced by KQAL-FM on the campus of Winona State University. For more information on tonight's show, visit us at kqal.org.